Avatirya. After descending. Yadok Vamshe. In the dynasty of Yadu. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhuta Bhavanaha. Who is the cause of the cosmic manifestation? Pritovan. Executed. Yani. Whatever. Activities. Vishwa-atma. The supersoul of the entire universe. Tani. All of those activities. Naha. Unto us. Vada. Kindly say. Vistarat. Elaborately. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about His glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of His life. Purport. In this verse, the words kritavan, yani, indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukadev Goswami, about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya. Mukta Sangak Paramvajit. That's in the 12th canto, 3rd chapter. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yare deko tahe koho Krishna upadesh. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. Some questions need only a short answer. Other questions are posed in such a way as to evoke a detailed answer. So the Pariksit is intentionally asking for a long answer. Tani no vada vistarat. Please, take as much liberty as you like to expand. Unfortunately, the plan of the Bhagavatam is that it should occupy only 18,000 verses. The Puranas are supposed to be 4 lakhs of granthas total. Bhagavatam is only one of those Puranas. Just like in a supermarket, there are over 10,000 things being sold, items, in any supermarket, in an American supermarket. You may manufacture a new kind of food product, but you have to compete to get a little bit of room on the shelf in the supermarket. You may not get any room, even 2 inches, for your product. So like that, there's some competition here for space in the Puranas. There's only 18,000 verses available for the whole Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is supposed to include description of the entire dynasties of the sun god and the moon god, from the creation, from Lord Brahma down to the future, not even the current day, but past our own time into the future, up to practically the end of Kali Yuga, our Kali Yuga. I counted from Brahma to Krishna is 59 generations, and there's a lot of description of all of them. So there's not much room left. After that, obligatory material is covered, even as briefly as possible. So Shukadeva only has less than 5,000 shlokas to describe everything that Krishna did. Vistarat, relatively, in detail, but actually it's pretty short. Each pastime only gets 40, a short chapter. Average size of a Bhagavatam chapter, even in the 10th canto, is 42 and a half shlokas. So it's not that much. The things that Krishna did are just touched upon, just mentioned and described in a little bit of detail. But anyway, Parikshit, in the time, and he's got only 7 days to hear all of it. He's got a time limit imposed upon him. So although it would be nice if Shukadev went on for billions of shlokas and took months and years to do it, neither Parikshit nor we have enough time. It's hard for us to sit down for half an hour and listen. We think we have so much other important business. There are a few of us sitting here. Everyone else is running around doing something that they think is more important than hearing Bhagavatam. But Parikshit, even though he's only got 7 days, he's ready to give full attention and do nothing else. He won't even stop to eat and sleep for those 7 days. Of course, 7 days, he's on the fourth day already now. It's over, half over. As Prabhupada mentions, Yani Kritavan, Yani. Yes, the word is not there. There are two pronouns, Tani and Yani, and the correlative Tani. There's no antecedent. We assume it's his activities, charitam, whatever word, the neuter word, it's assumed. The things that he did, whatever it is, Yani. Tell me about as much of them as you can, and you don't have to discriminate that some of them are auspicious and some are not. That some are relevant to our purpose and others are irrelevant. There's no need to make such discrimination. Just tell me everything you can. Everything you remember and everything you have space and time for, tell it all. Otherwise, if someone is writing a history or a biography, he has to be discriminating. You're going to write a 700-page biography of some important person. But even in your 700 pages, you cannot tell every single thing the person ever did. It's not of interest. Most of his days were boring to hear about and irrelevant. So you just have to select, interesting things and relevant things. But in the matter of Krishna's activities, you could tell anything he did. Just like when Narada went to visit Krishna in Dwaraka, I think it's described in chapter 71 of the 10th canto. And he visited Krishna in many of his palaces and saw Krishna in different expansions, doing lots of miscellaneous things. But those minor household affairs of Krishna are completely fascinating, amazing. What other grihastha is maintaining 16,108 households and keeping himself busy with such a variety of activities in every single one of them? And every single thing he does, Krishna's never is interesting, fascinating. He's not he never becomes a couch potato just sitting in front of the television, drinking beer and burping. Doing something, nothing interesting. He's always doing something interesting. And something auspicious, all auspicious. Everything Krishna does serves many purposes, and everybody who becomes involved in that activity is benefited. All beneficial. Of course, what is it? The verse that's coming up. Nivitta tarshaya ubagiyamana bhavav shadat chotra manobi ramat. I'm sorry, I'm stealing tomorrow's verses. Ka utama shloka gunanavadat So those who are detached from everything else, who have no material agitation, who have no material interest in any kind of sense gratification, they're interested in the things that Krishna does. People who like, who want to enjoy sense gratification in the material world, in various forms, they read newspapers and watch the television and get their entertainment from that. Or even before there was such electronic devices and newspapers available, they would listen to mundane katha. I took one course in Sanskrit. Ever since I joined ISKCON, I went to the university to take one course, just out of curiosity, at the University of California in Los Angeles, where they only have one Sanskritist there. The rest of them are all in Berkeley and a few other places. But in Los Angeles, they had Professor Helmut Scharf, who was teaching a course, upper-level undergraduate course, in reading Sanskrit literature. And every year, he'd read something different. But he'd been teaching the course for 20 years, so he was familiar with the literature. And he asked the students, what would you like to read this year? They said, we don't know. So he suggested, let's do Dundin's Dashakumaracharita. Nice book for those who are not too experienced reading Sanskrit drama, Sanskrit, basically a novel. So we read it. It was well written. Dundin is a great poet, supposedly, authority on poetry. And this was a prose work, but interesting. But it was totally mundane. Just the equivalent of a cheap novel. Something that someone buys in the supermarket just to read to keep himself busy. About prostitutes making moonies fall down and the sons of some king running around and doing all sorts of nonsense. Nothing about anything spiritual. What to speak of about Krishna? Nothing auspicious. So such literature does exist in Sanskrit. And even before the advent of newspapers and television, materialistic people, even those who knew Sanskrit, were taking advantage of such cheap garbage literature. Pulp, yes. Or birch pulp, whatever. Bourgeois. What is it? Navaya Samtirta Rushanti Manasa. This mundane literature is like a pilgrimage place for the crows. Where do the crows and the seagulls gather for their pilgrimage? In the garbage dumps. You can see seagulls hundreds of miles from the sea because they go not that they love the sea so much, they love garbage. And they'll come wherever there's garbage, seagulls and crows. So that's the tirtha for the vyasas. And it's the tirtha, the assembly, gathering place for mundane people, is garbage literature. Literature that glorifies the mundane sex life of ordinary men and women and the mundane exploits of ordinary heroes. So those who have lost interest and all this material nonsense, they still have a lot of interest in glorifying Krishna's activities. Because Krishna's activities are all auspicious. Bhava Oshadat, medicine for the disease of material existence. Not only is it healthy, but it will cure the most intractable disease, the disease of birth and death. What doctor can do that? He may have some very powerful medicine. Tridosha Kani that can adjust any of the three doshas, all three at once. But does any Ayurvedic doctor have a medicine that can stop dying and rebirth? But this medicine does. And it's not only potent medicine, it tastes good. Chotra Mano Biramat. It's pleasant, very attractive. Two, the ears and the heart. As we read in Kapiladeva's instruction, practically the same idea. Satam pasangan mama virya samvido vavanti vidkarna vasaya nakata. By associating with the devotees of Krishna, one will get the opportunity to hear from them about Krishna's wonderful deeds. Mama Virya. Virya means male potency, but it means heroic deeds. And everything Krishna does is heroic and romantic and everything else that's attractive. He's Dhira Lalita and Prashanta Lalita and what is the Dhira Datta. Dhira Prashanta and Dhira Lalita. He's all four kinds of heroes. The romantic hero, the military hero, the saintly hero, and the grouchy hero, all at the same time. Well, not always at the same time, but he incorporates in his activities all these varieties. So Sukadev Parikshit is very eager to hear this, and in the next verse he's going to ask, what human being could not be interested, could not be eager to hear about Krishna unless he's Pashugna? Well, that should be discussed tomorrow, what a Pashugna is. But unless he's not really a human being, but practically an animal, a real human being, a civilized human being, should be very interested to hear about Krishna. Anyway, so therefore Parikshit's asking now, please tell me everything. Do it elaborately. Take the opportunity to tell me everything that you can about what Krishna did from the beginning of his life up to the end. Right. So, Krishna says in the Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yoviti tatvataha. One, chakva deham punar janma naiti mamiti sarjana. One who properly understands, anyone who properly understands the special way in which I'm born in this world, and the way I act in this world, my janma and my karma, he will not have to take birth again. He will come to me. That will be the perfection of his life. To simply understand, caused by simply understanding Krishna's birth and his activities. So his birth is going to be described first. This chapter is the introduction to the advent of Lord Krishna. And the birth of Lord Krishna will be described in the few following pastimes. Krishna's birth. Avatirya Yadurvamshe, taking birth in the dynasty of the Yadus. Because the Lord appears, because he chooses to take his birth among the human race, therefore he is able to perform such activities that ordinary human beings can understand and relate to. Bhajate tadrishi krida yakshutva tatparobhavet. Krishna enters the realm of time and space. He enters the human race. He becomes one of us. And he does things that we can understand in our own terms of a hero, or a romantic hero, a military hero. We know about such things. And Krishna will emulate the activities of ordinary human beings, but do it in such a way that he establishes his own glories. First he takes his birth, and then he begins his activities. It doesn't stop for 125 years. So Parikshit is asking, in effect, please tell me the whole 10th canto, all 90 chapters. So any questions or comments? Oh, which one is that? Dhira Udatta. He's... what is the definition? Well, he's a bit rough on the edges, and, you know, doesn't tolerate abuse, and he's feisty, fighting. And, well, I don't know. I don't remember. Rupa Goswami gives a nice definition of that. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
You can check Nectar of Devotion for a proper explanation.
Nectar of Devotion. It's in Nectar of Devotion. Four.
Prabhupada explains it nicely. Well, there are four kinds of hero.
Dhira Prashanta and
Dhira Lalita.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can look up the term Dero, just Dero, you'll find it. Just look up Dero. Hi, Bob.
Here, so far in the last two verses, we've only heard that he's interested in Bhagavan and Vishnu. Here we get a hint that he wants to hear specifically about Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Indirectly, but it's clear.
Well, Vishnu, when he appears in the dynasty of the Yadus, yeah. Who's that?
You're the Nayaka.
Yeah.
I was also thinking that Krishna appeals to everyone because he manifests these four different types of Nayaka personality.
Yeah.
So we can see practically that there are devotees in this world who preach, and they attract different kinds of people as well.
Yes.
But those who have the, how should I say, most diverse personality, they seem to be more successful. You can see that Srila Prabhupada,
yes,
was at times also Dhira Prashanta, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Datta, Dhira Datta.
Yes.
Others are also like that.
Yes.
Can you comment on that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that's the most universally attractive kind of person who's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. Someone can be a successful preacher by just being something, but he won't attract everybody. So there are gurus and there are jagat gurus. There are gurus, you know, the guru, everybody's a guru, or a guru for universal guru. That's rare. That person is the most glorious, of course.
We don't hear about this in the Shastra, but is that something to be, is that a quality?
We may hear something about it. To be emulated.
Yeah.
I think you've got to, either you have it or you don't. You can't become, you know, universally charismatic unless you've got it. You're empowered. To become an empowered guru, you have to get special blessings, you have to do special austerities, or prayaschitta. You have to prepare yourself by special austerities, special sadhana, especially severe sadhana, to take that role. Because you got to be ideal to attract and impress everybody, you know, not just by a show, but by being real. For that, that takes severe preparation. Krishna, we can go back to Godhead being very imperfect. But if you want to take the role of guru, then we have to be, you know, more or less perfect.
Yeah, this is what I'm getting at. It's kind of
empowered.
Quality versus quantity as well.
Yeah.
Because although we say that there one moon outshines many stars, the fact of the matter is that we almost define that moon by the number of Vaishnavas that we can make.
We shouldn't necessarily. You know, someone can be superlative without being universal. He may have only a few disciples, but still he's extremely advanced. It's not the job for everybody to take thousands of disciples and to be a very, you know, full personality with all sorts of aspects. A person can have a limited scope and still be very, very perfect and exemplary and very advanced. Just like Krishna has his own avatars that take unlimited roles. Now, Lord Matsya doesn't have, as far as we know, any Rasa Leela. You know, Lord Kurma doesn't have either. But still, they're on the top 10 list anyway. You know, of avatars, of God, forms of God. Well, he's a turtle, swimming in the water. But just for that, he's on the top 10 list. He's glorified. So you don't have to be Jagat Guru to be perfect, to be the best. Yeah. To be the best, or to be especially my guru. You know, I may be a disciple of someone who isn't Jagat Guru. He's just my guru, and he's got three or four other disciples. What is that? What does it matter? He's Krishna's pure, perfect representative.
Sometimes we hear this.
That's a mundane consideration to think that you got to be, you know, everything. Krishna has to be everything. Jiva doesn't have to.
Sometimes we hear the argument that Srila Prabhupada, you know, one very strong evidence for Srila Prabhupada's greatness is the fact that he gave Krishna Bhakti to the entire world and was able to attract so many people.
Different kinds of people.
And different kinds of people, that's implicit, but, you know, it is a numbers game, it seems, in large part, that, you know, if we consider that he was empowered on account of the great, you know, numbers of people that he was able to attract.
Right. But our success is not to become imitation Prabhupada's. Mm-hmm. Our success is to become what we are and what our own potential is. Mm-hmm. To be yourself perfectly. That's our success.
Perfectly for Prabhupada.
Yeah, we're parts and parcels of Prabhupada. We're supposed to manifest his glory in individual aspects. But to try to be the whole thing is a vain endeavor. Probably ill motivated. Yes? Nepali Wala?
Yes, Nepali Wala. He's my
brother. Oh, this kid from, you know, you remember back in the 70s, this Guru Maharaj, the punk guru, yeah. In America they called him Guru Maharaj. In India before that they called him Bal Yogeshwar. Yeah. Now he's 45 years old, and, you know. Yeah. Yeah, but he's still at it. He's got lots of disciples.
Still.
Got charisma, but he doesn't have a...
Neither can we say that Prabhupada's preaching to so many people effectively was insignificant. We can't say that either.
No. No, that's the greatest. You know, the person who can be spiritual master for the whole world, he's the greatest. But he shouldn't be imitated. Mm-hmm. Our greatness would be represent some small aspect of his personality. Devotees sometimes try to be what they're not, because they think that's their duty. They got to be, you know, like Prabhupada, everything. But we can't. Do good what you can do good, and don't emphasize what you're just not good for. Don't try to do what you're not good for. Yes. Yeah, please. You got it.
A person who is very envious, proud, easily angered, restless, and complacent is called Viradatta.
Complacent?
Yeah. By learned scholars. Such qualities were visible in the character of Lord Krishna, because when he was writing a letter to Kala Yavana, Krishna addressed him as a simple frog. In his letter, Krishna advised Kala Yavana that he should immediately go and find some dark well for his residence. because there was a black snake named Krishna who was very eager to devour all such sinful thoughts. Krishna reminded the Kali Yavana that he could turn all the universes to ashes simply by looking at him. The above statement by Krishna seems apparently to be of an envious nature, but according to different pastimes, places and times, this quality is accepted as a great characteristic. Krishna's Dhirodatta qualities have been accepted as great because Krishna uses them only to protect his devotees. In other words, even undesirable traits may also be used in the exchange of devotional service. Sometimes Bhima, the second brother of the Pandavas, is also described as Dhirodatta.
Oh,
very good.
Yeah. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.